Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein,
and I have the privilege of being your host coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co or follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please stay tuned until the end, where, as always, we offer you an exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who will also find it of interest. Today, I'm doing a great conversation with three guests. No idea exactly where it's going to go, but I know the route that it's coming from. If you're watching by video, you see behind me the sign at the starting line of the Jerusalem Marathon, which just took place here this past Friday. We're going to be releasing this a few weeks later. And it's actually very interesting and appropriate that in the intro, we always talk about Genesis 123 Foundation doing things that are new, unique, and meaningful. Why? Because our very first program, before we even began to brand the Genesis 123 Foundation, was and is a program called Run for Zion, the first Christian program around the Jerusalem Marathon. And full disclosure, our first year, 2019, was a huge small success with 7 participants. And you can watch the videos and see the pictures from that at runforzion.com. But then we had 10 times the number of people register for 2020, which is already showing the trajectory and the interest from all around the world. However, 10 days before people were scheduled to arrive, a little thing called COVID shut down Ben-Gurion Airport, and no one was allowed to participate. COVID prevented people from coming until 2023, when we had 25 or 26 people, including 2 who flew in that morning from Kinshasa in Congo, and they walked the 10K race during their first day, the first hours on the ground here. And then, unfortunately, because of the war, the past 2 years were off. But I am hoping that this conversation today will be a little bit prophetic. And by, let's see, March 27th of 2026, I have good confidence that we are the first people promoting Run for Zion and the Jerusalem Marathon for 2026, that we will have at least a busload. And that'll be very exciting. With me today, I've got 3 guests, and I'm going to introduce them in alphabetical order. Rabbi Dovi Nadel is the Rosh Beit Midrash at the SAR High School in Riverdale, New York. He recently led a group of 30 students from SAR on a 4-day trip to Israel to run in the Jerusalem Marathon on behalf of Shalva, one of the Israeli organizations that has a great footprint, pun intended, at the marathon, assisting children with disabilities here in Jerusalem and across the country. Tseho Motaung is a good friend for a while. I don't even know how many years back we go, but it was actually in the interim of the Run for Zion part that we got to know each other through her connection with the former Chief Justice in South Africa, publishing an essay in our book, Israel the Miracle. She has a master's degree in global political economy from Sussex University and has over the years gained experience in different sectors of South Africa's economy, from business, NGOs, and politics, as well as the diplomatic community and as a trade and investment advisor for a global trade promotion agency. She's a Christian and leads interdenominational prayers for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel matters in Africa to help educate and raise awareness about Israel among Christian communities throughout Africa. She's a gifted writer and a good friend, and I missed her on her short trip here to Jerusalem, but I'm so glad that we got to talk and that she's here with us. And Sorrell Weinstein is a language expert for J Squared Adventures and co-host of the Wandering Jews podcast. She's originally from Manchester, England. She made Aliyah at age 20. So that was just a few years ago, right, Sorrell?
Just a few, yeah.
Just a few years. Through her career, and even in her latest role as a weight loss and wellness coach, her love of words has been at the core of everything she does. She lives in Rehovot with her husband, three daughters, and their golden retriever, Cadbury, who even before I figured it out, knowing that you're from Manchester, I understood that that is for your favorite chocolate, my wife as well. So I want to thank you all. I'm excited. We have prep for this almost none. Sorrell, you came through another good friend, Ofer Wind, because you made a lovely Facebook post about your experience. And I just want to thank you all for being here and being part of this conversation, and look forward to all of us. I'm not going to say running because I can't do the run, but being on the streets of Jerusalem together next March. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan.
So, Sorrell, you know what? Maybe as the Israeli here in the crowd, let's talk for a moment about this Jerusalem Marathon. I don't know if you've participated in the past, but you wrote a really meaningful Facebook post that I want to get into. What was so unique about running in the marathon specifically this year?
You know, Jonathan, so as you know, I work and express myself through words. And the high that I felt, and I'm not even talking about the elevation of the hills, the spiritual high that I felt after the run, you know, you saw my Facebook post, but it really was difficult for me to put into words. The first time I ran in the Jerusalem Marathon was last year, 2024, right? So that also was after October 7th. And I do run, but running isn't my favorite form of exercise. I kind of fell into this run because a friend in synagogue mentioned to me that she was running for an amazing cause, Bet Daniela, that helps teens with mental health issues. And she said, you should come along. And there was something so magical about the experience last year that really made me feel it was less about the run and more about the energy. And, you know, I've participated in runs in New York before and a couple of different places. And what I felt so different, Jonathan, was that in this run, sometimes it's unnerving, the pace of the runners next to you, right? You're like focusing on that. It really felt that we were just all together. It felt the most unifying experience. And that wasn't something that, you know, words. This was just our sneakers pounding the streets of Jerusalem with so much history and so much meaning and ultimately so much togetherness. That it was, I'm still on the high. We're days later. I'm still feeling it.
That's amazing. Thank you. Tseho, we missed each other, but we spoke the day before and then the day after. And you did the 10. Sorrell, by the way, you did, how far did you run?
10K.
10K also. And Tseho as well.
Same here. So we must have all passed each other.
You were all together. And it's actually more possible. By the way, statistically, there were 9,200 people who ran or walked the 10K. So that's when we speak of marathon, and when I've been promoting Run for Zion in the past years, I refer to marathon as the M word because people will get afraid. I'd be afraid of doing 42 kilometers. But 10K, you know, I can walk that as my friends from Congo did. They landed at 3 a.m. and by 9 a.m. they were on the streets. It was amazing. Yeah, that was wild. Tseho, what was it like for you this year? And what drove you to want to come to Israel specifically now?
So for me, the marathon, participating in the marathon was literally like a miracle because I didn't really have plans per se. I've always wanted to do it. But, you know, after a while, I mean, coming all the way to Jerusalem, you know, it became a bit of a difficult thing to even try and plan around. So I happened to be in Jerusalem for a conference, and I decided when I looked at the dates, I thought there's no way I'm going to miss the marathon. Last year, I came to Israel and I landed on the 8th of March, the day of the marathon. And I was staying in Abuta by the train station. So as we walked to have breakfast, So I landed. I didn't run. I saw the runners. I saw the runners, and something in me was like, I'd love to be part of this race, you know, and without any plans, you know. When I looked at my time and the time that I was visiting, I just said, there is no way I'm going to miss the opportunity to be part of the Jerusalem Marathon. What a blessing it was. Yeah, and I'm also still on a high, you know.
Oh, that's
I'm
great.
Still on a high. So I think watching the runners last year, 5 months after October 7th, you know, it was still very quieter, and it wasn't, you know, the tension was still quite palpable, and but there was a determination to go. But this year, there was so much joy on the street.
Yes, I so agree with you. I also, yeah. Now you're saying that, it was more subdued last year, but it was also this quiet determination. And there was just like joy, people wearing these causes that were really heavy in memory of people. But yeah, everybody was running with so much joy, 100%.
And that's what helped me to finish. Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. What was different for you, Tseho, this year being here in Israel, as compared to a year ago? You've been to Israel many times. This wasn't your first, but you've been here since the war began. Other than that sense of last year and the marathon specifically being more subdued, what was your sense of being in Israel this year that was different?
I think this year, you know, I think it, you know, the words of just hold on. There's a storm that is starting. I must just, I'll come back. If just give me a minute. There's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Let's see if she's thinking of the same Zelma I'm thinking of.
Well, Dovi, as long as you're here, you get to follow the more exotic accents as one of the Americans in the room. Was this your first time?
So it was. I teach at a school that has been sending participants year after year. And honestly, often I'll have students come back and talk to me about this spiritual, sublime, communal experience. So for years, I'd been wanting to go. Finally, I was tasked with chaperoning a group of 30 kids. And it did not disappoint. I got to run the 10K alongside my brother, who is currently serving in the IDF.
Wow.
He said it was a record-setting run for him. He'd never run the marathon slower. very, very appreciative that he kept pace with me. But there were so many like almost impressions or moments that stick in my mind. I'll share some of the things that my students met.
Before you do, was this your first time in Israel?
This was not my first time since October 7th. I have been back. But this was the first time that I really felt, I think, just the pure joy of being together with everybody. I think every other time there's been something bittersweet, something tragic happening and trying to find the joy in the moment. And this, I think, like Sorel and Jacho, you're saying, like there's something just pure simcha, as we say, pure joy in that moment. Psalm 122, is that what you were looking for? Or a different one? Maybe. All right. I'll just give a couple impressions from the moment. There was one student, Asher Kanan, who spent a long amount of the marathon running between an 80-year-old man and a 6-year-old child.
Wow.
There were moments where you just saw these groups of clearly like soldiers all running with the face of some other soldier on their back to commemorate somebody who'd passed.
Physically on their back, not the burden, but on their shirt.
Yeah, on their shirt. And then you just had people running for so many different organizations. And in Psalm 122, there's this phrase that goes, Leman achai v'rei'ai, to do things for our brothers and friends. And it really just felt like this was a marathon where people were running together, but also running for a purpose. And that was really powerful. Everybody had their own purposes, and there's something just really, really distinct, I think, in running in this marathon and seeing how everybody had something motivating them to go forward. And I have to say the DJs along the way did give me a little bit of motivation too.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, and it was gorgeous weather. Usually it is. Actually, it's our first year. No, the first year was great weather on Friday, and then on Saturday, Shabbat, when we had the walking tour, everyone got soaked. But the weather is always typically great.
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance, creating an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anyone for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit israelthemiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
Dovi, let me come back to you and say, how I want your input as well. You not only came and participated, but you're chaperoning 30 high school students during a war that has an extra level of responsibility. Did you or anyone at any time feel unsafe or ill at ease?
I would say the following. I'll actually note that I chaperoned 30 kids, but it was part of a larger program that Shalva runs. There are around 10 day schools from America, a few more from England. There were around 200 students total that came to Israel to run for Shalva. And to be honest, all of these parents wanted to send their kids, you know. Perhaps there were parents who decided not to send, but I think there was just excitement. And, you know, I'll tell you, even on the days that we've come back, we've almost formed a special bond. We're on the Jerusalem Marathon together. This group of 30 kids feels close. They were all wearing their medals around school yesterday. I know I'm somewhat avoiding the question, but it seems like their parents wanted them to go. They wanted to go. And they come back, I think, recharged, rejuvenated, and all ready to sign up to go next year already. You
know? But that wasn't a question like, Rabbi, what happens if there's an air raid?
We did have. We had put on our WhatsApp group, this is what happens if there's a siren. And everybody was ready. Like, they were all ready. This is what happens. But it didn't. Nobody dropped out. Because
you had your running shoes on anyway, so it wouldn't have been
ready to go.
All right, very good. Tzecha, what about you? Also, this is not your first time. You've been to Israel many times. When you were here, you were here for a bit of an extended trip, a little bit. There was a siren, wasn't there?
Yes, I experienced the siren. But we actually didn't hear it because we were inside the conference hall. So we were just told we need to just, you know, get on the floor. And all the people who are coming all over the world felt, wow, it was like an experience. At the same time, you know, it's a serious security risk.
Whoops. Okay, that's the South African bandwidth. We'll come back to Tzecho. Sorel, we live here, right? You Rehovot at the beginning. Oh, here she is. Let's see. Okay, we'll come right back. Tzecho, you there?
I'm back, yes. Sorry, we've got a bit of a storm that is just decided to start out now.
Hey, okay.
So my apologies for that. As I was saying, we had that experience, but it wasn't frightening. And I think I've been this was my third trip since the war, and I think also with what has happened over time, we've seen that it's not scary to come. I brought a group last year, so it wasn't scary at all for me. But yeah, it was again coming back to the trip. It was such for me a different experience. I'm still trying to find the words. I'm still trying to find the words to explain just how beautiful it was, and even the weather, like
that was perfect.
It was just so perfect, and I think for me, I think it's something that I will reflect on at some point and write, because the words are just escaping out of my mouth, but the experience was just amazing, Jonathan.
Well, when you do write it, I was going to mention before, so I don't forget. When you do write it, we will share it, and we will also use that to promote for Run for Zion next year. You'll be pleased to know, based on my social media post, I was contacted by a couple in South Africa who are eager to promote it among Christians next year. So plan on that, March 27th of 26. Sorel, March 27th. You live in Rehovot in central Israel. I think, well, certainly more than where I live, you've experienced more than your share of air raid sirens over the last 18 months.
You could say that.
Which is stressful. Was there any being an Israeli, was there any ill ease in participating along with how many, almost 20,000 people being on the streets? Or conversely, was this somehow a beautiful respite that everyone needed?
Well, it's actually funny because your question takes me back to a week before the run, when I shared on a WhatsApp group of friends, I'm about to run 8K in training. No hutim better, no one should get in my way. And of course, what happens 2 seconds later, my friends were like, you've got to be careful what you say. We were all in the safe room, which also doubles as my daughter's bedroom. But after that, I got my sneakers on. I'm like, you're not stopping me. And I recorded that on Strava, the app for running. Like, nice try. But to answer your question, it's interesting, actually, because you mentioned how, you know, COVID kind of interrupted the flow of things. And then we had, obviously, October 7th. And I think that one of the hard things is this feeling potentially of isolation, of feeling like with COVID, right, specifically, that we were isolated, that kind of, you know, if there was any running to be done, it would be remotely, if there was any kind of communication. And now in the war, it kind of feels like you feel safety in numbers. What does that mean? It means that you feel connected and contained and held by being in the Jerusalem Marathon, because there is so much togetherness. It's lonely being a Jew sometimes, and it's lonely even in Israel, even though we're all together. So being on the streets of the Jerusalem Marathon and feeling the support, just, you know, even listening to Dovi and Checo, like you guys coming in and supporting. And as I was running, I saw a bus stop, these Japanese tourists who were waving the flag. It felt like an enormous hug. And that honestly, you know, I wasn't thinking about safety. Yes, this is part of our lives. But I do. My oldest daughter just finished her 3 years of service as a sharpshooter and combat medic. So, you know, in terms of being on the front lines of Jewish history, I've lived here 27 years. It's a choice. And I actually do feel safer here, I think, than you know, other places. But just that feeling of togetherness made me feel like that was safety, like just being held, emotionally held.
But you didn't know that until you were there and they said go, right? It was until that point, right. it was just all procedural. And then right. You got to experience it.
You're right. I mean, I think also Chaco observed the same thing. Like last year, right, just 5 months after October 7th, it felt important that we run. It felt that it was, despite, even though we just want to, you know, hide under the covers and kind of lie in a fetal position and just be really, really sad, it was like, this is what resilience looks like. So that was last year. And then I felt on the heels of that, we have to keep that forward motion going. But you're right. The joy and the, I didn't expect the unity to take on that, like, really joyous, electric, beautiful feel to it.
Right. And it was your post and mentioning the Japanese tourists that particularly struck me, because we do feel alone all the time. At least I, and you as well, have an opportunity professionally to engage with people who support Israel. For me, it's among hundreds of millions of Christians all over the world. And that's a tremendous respite and very needed for me. It's given me kind of a bubble to live in. But what is it, because they looked different? If it you would or that you noticed that they were tourists, what was it specifically about the Japanese tourists being there?
Look, I think in Jerusalem in general, I think you find a mosaic, right? I mean, the whole crowd was so diverse, and that was part of the beauty, right? So coming together, people from all different parts of the population, and seeing the observers, spectators on the street, and just seeing these Japanese tourists waving an Israeli flag with so much love and support and solidarity on their faces. And again, I work with words, but none of this was through words. All of this feeling was just from this energy of everybody, no matter how where they come from in the world, or everybody there, even Jerusalem residents. It was something that is unparalleled. So that stuck out for me, because they're holding the flag at the bus stop, and so clearly, you know, not Israelis, and yet they are just giving us the biggest hug, and so great.
Yeah, that's so nice, and it's an appropriate time to make a plug for anyone listening and inspired by all of you, and I am. I didn't even think to go into Jerusalem on Friday for the marathon, because it wasn't happening, and I kind of, for me, I've been that puts me in a point of depression. We've got this tremendous program run for Zion, but since 2018, we've only been able to do it twice.
Jonathan, if I could just say also that I'm really not a serious runner, okay? And I'm tempted almost to stop running right now, because I just love other exercise more. And I love how I feel after. I don't love the process of running. If I have good music, it's great. But the Jerusalem Marathon was such a once in a lifetime, but like, it was just such a transcendental feeling that I'm actually keeping going with the running, just so I can get myself mentally ready. What date did you say it is in 2026?
March 27th.
Yeah, I'm there. Like, I just need to keep going with the running just so I can have that energy again. That's actually fueling my run, the excitement for next year.
Dolly, you want to jump?
Yeah, on that note, I had to walk 4 miles to get to the starting point. And then there was like a communal, because we were running on behalf of Shalva, kids with disabilities, we did this communal kind of walk with them, and we danced our hearts out for a half an hour. And then we started a 10K. So even if I had prepared, like, I ran like 4, 5, and then walked, and then I got to the old city, and then I felt like I needed to run through the old city. But like, the goal, like, it was just about being part of it all. You know, you got the medal at the end, but the finishing time, some of my students really did. They really trained and had like wonderful time. But I think, Sorel, I think exactly what you're saying is also right. Now I just need to factor into my training the dance prior to it. But it was really special. I'll also just note that when you were looking for like words, there was like one Jewish ritual that came to mind when running the marathon. There's this custom, ancient Israel, 3 times a year to go up to Temple Mount prior to every holiday. And there was something about this, you know, we're recording this on the eve of Passover, and people from all over Israel, all over the world, kind of just ascending the Temple Mount. So when people asked me what it felt like, I kept on saying it feels like a modern day, we call it in Hebrew, Aliyah Regel, modern day ascending pilgrimage to the Temple Mount. And I even envisioned, I imagine 2000 years ago, prior to social media, you know, Joe Schmo hasn't seen Bobby for a whole year. They don't talk to each other, but then all of a sudden you start at the race and like, hey, it's been a while. How you been? Like, that's been how it was. And I think throughout the marathon, I was running into former students, former colleagues, friends. And then in addition to that, so many people I didn't know, but there was just that togetherness. And also it being on the eve of Passover, I think specifically this year was a little bit later, added added almost an additional layer to the spiritual power. Just one
very
thing.
Nice.
Friends, Israel's at war, and the war may get worse before it gets better. Much worse. It's going to be a long war because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 123 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire, and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust, and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds, just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
By the way, it's important to note the three of you got to do that run through the old city. The full marathon, half marathon, and 10K all go through the old city. The 5K doesn't, but the 10K is the most popular. It's always typically about 50% of the people who participate, and that played out again this year, even though the total numbers this year were half of what it was before COVID. It used to be about 40,000 people registering, and this year was about 20,000, and very few, which is why Dovi and Seho, it's important that you're here in this conversation, because there were really very few from overseas who specifically came in for that.
I think that may have to do a little bit with the fact that they pushed off the marathon this year, I think 2 weeks. I'm sure there were some things involved with that. I think they didn't want it to be at the same time as Ramadan or whatever it was, to respect everybody else at the time. Yeah. Is that correct, Sorel?
I just know that so many of my friends, we're talking about locals, Israelis, like they were going to run, but you know.
Got to get ready for Passover.
Yeah, for me, it was a great get out of jail card, like, sorry.
But how interesting.
Dovi, I wanted to say your students really kept us going. I remember there was a part where I was so tired and they were singing along, and I thought to myself, I must just not lose these young people, because the singing was like, I could hear them coming from behind me. Wow. And, you know, I just paced myself for some time to just
enjoy
them. It was just like you say, I think even just before Passover, there was something really special about it, and going into the old city at the time. I just think for me also, like you're saying, Sorel, that, you know, it's exactly that, you know, that you just came to just give a hug, to say you're not alone. And I think for me, when I realized that I'd be there at the same time, and you know, the community that we together praying with, everyone was like, please just represent us. I felt the pressure, you know, and I was there running alone, but I knew that I wasn't alone, and that, you know, I'm backed up by other people that just couldn't physically be there. And really, next year, we would like to just come as a team, and have more people. And I think for me, like I said, having desired this thing for so long, and realizing that planning for it just became, it just got out of my own ability. You just like, no, I don't think I can make it this year, another year. And then you forget about it. And when you least forget, when you least expected, time and everything just fell into place. And I think it was the perfect time for me to be there.
So I must interject. This is completely not scripted, although my intent is not to be obscene about promoting Run for Zion, but we are promoting Run for Zion because we want there to be 40,000 people next year, and we want 1,000 of them to be Christians from all over the world. And Dovi, as you said, that very much represents that whole Aliyah, the notion that it's not just the Temple Mount is not just a Jewish temple, but in fact for all nations. But one of the things that we do that I'm so proud of, and in fact, when we started Run for Zion, the mayor of Jerusalem was Nir Barkat. He's now one of the government ministers, and maybe one day, if the current prime minister steps down, maybe he'll be prime minister. But very well spoken, one of the wealthiest politicians in the country, and he's also a runner. And so I approached the idea with him, and I explained not just to bring more people as tourists, which he loved, but also similar, and I'm sure this is the case with your students, Dovi, we offer subsidies. We don't. I never want to be the Jewish guy in the room working with Christians saying you can only participate if you swipe the credit card, or everything has to be transactional. So I would say probably 50-60% of the people who we've had registered over the years have paid their own way. But what we also do, since there are many organizations that use this as a fundraiser, like Beit Daniela, which you're connected with, Sorel, and like Shalva and any other organizations that we're connected to, we say, okay, it's completely culturally normal. You can ask your friends and family to sponsor you. And when you meet certain benchmarks, we subsidize the trip. And in fact, one year, the maximum subsidy made the entire package, including airfare, only $79.
Wow.
Right? So we want to give people that motivation. It also comes from the formula of the verse Genesis 12:3, from which we get our name Genesis 1:2:3. I will bless those who bless you, right? My father was a chemist. There's a formula in there. God's giving a promise. And there are an infinite number of ways in which God does and can continue to bless us. So why shouldn't it be? If you raise, I don't remember how much the amount was, and I want to say a wrong number and mislead people. If you raise X, you're going to now have your whole land package covered. And if you raise X plus Y, now we're going to give you an extra $1,500 subsidy toward your airfare. Which, yeah, Dovi, you want to say something?
Yeah, I'll add something that enhanced our entire experience. That night, we went back to the old city again. It was Friday evening, so Shabbat, Sabbath.
More
walking. Yeah, the kids. Look, these kids were ready to go. So we walked through the same. You know, alleys of the old city at 11 p.m. at night, and they were silent. They were silent, and pointing out different things to the kids, more of a soulful kind of soft singing.
Wow.
But there was something very powerful in the same day, feeling Jerusalem full, and then also at the same time, kind of feeling the silence of Sabbath Eve in Jerusalem as well. And I think going for the Jerusalem Marathon is, I think the peak was the Jerusalem Marathon, but being there for the entire weekend and, you know, exploring different facets of Jerusalem. The next day, we walked through the cities of the corridors and alleys of Nachlaot. And there was just something so beautiful about almost feeling the different elements of what Jerusalem was. The Jerusalem Marathon definitely being the peak. But I felt like this was, you know, I've been on other trips to Israel where I've traveled all around the country. This felt like a hug of Jerusalem in all of its multitudes, you know.
That's uplifting you.
It's yeah. So true, because we arrived on, my husband and I arrived on Thursday night, and we were, you know, we're in the city center, and we felt this like this air of expectancy, right? And not in a tense way, but the kind of like excitement when you see like posters on trees and there are trucks that were unloading crates of bottles of water. And you could tell the city was shifting. The run hadn't begun, but the energy was already building. And actually, it's funny you say that about Shabbat, Dovi, because last year I kind of turned the run into a opportunity to get a weekend in Jerusalem. So we did that last year, and we walked the streets of Jerusalem just as you're describing, but not with my students, with my husband. But this year, with it being Passover in a week, it was less practical. But I was so happy we were there that night before, because Jerusalem is literally shifting. I mean, I've heard it from friends who, you know, have commute to Jerusalem, and they said the last 2 weeks, like every time they went into Jerusalem,
yes,
they felt it.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
And, right, and I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you afterwards also, everybody who ran the marathon was walking around sweaty with their medals in the shuk. And like, you just, everybody was proud to have been a part.
Yeah.
So there was an atmosphere to that as well. I even had like one person walk by me being like, no way, you came in first place. I'm like, okay, not exactly. but it was wonderful just walking around with that almost like that badge of honor that like I'd participated.
Decha, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I was saying to a friend that I used to love running, and I once fell, and you know, I was running and a car was coming. Fortunately for me, by God's grace, the person saw me, because I fell, they would have run me over.
Oy.
And I think that sense, you know, that trauma of being on the road again. So I would sort of run, but not like I used to. And when I saw the Jerusalem Marathon, and I thought, oh, I'm definitely going to do it. And then I realized I have to go through practice, you know. And I also, throughout the week before the marathon, I would run in the city in preparation, getting myself used to the hills. And I was saying to someone that, you know, this is a place where things that died come back to life. You know, the city that has been destroyed and rebuilt. This is where my legs will start moving again. And I felt, you know, I have not done a race. And I thought to myself, nope, if the city can be rebuilt after destruction and be rebuilt, okay, I think I'll be able to make it. And I was quite nervous that I was going to make it. And I think it was that special for me as well, that it wasn't just, you know, that you ran a marathon, but after a very, very long time. I mean, there are marathons taking place all the time, but I think this has been a dream of so many years that I just finally, and without planning. I think that is the part that, you know, next year, I know I would love to be there, and I'm planning. But this was for me such a gift, such a blessing. So I'm really grateful, and I think at the time that it happened, you know, one of the things that I appreciated was I don't know if it happens with all the marathons, because I've not been on the running for a while. I mean, the DJs at every other corner.
Amazing.
Because when you feel like your energy is just about to go down, and sing hallelujah, I'm like, oh, and then you move and there's a group of other children. It and after that, when we finished, I was like, did I actually finish 10K? Wow. I felt I could still
go on.
You know? Yeah.
Oh no, I clapped.
Were you a dad?
This is amazing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt any of you.
No. I'm just saying. So for me, it, like you're saying, that element also, just that on a personal level, it was that. And I mentioned to you that when I first visited Israel in 2014, I normally would run. At the time, I was young and stronger. And we went on a run with Olga. Olga Mishemi, her memory, everything. So we ran in Tel Aviv. And that's when we started talking about this race, you know, 2014 for 2015. And it didn't happen. And I realized that it was actually 10 years exactly since we discussed it the first time that it actually happened. So it was quite special. It was quite special. Yeah. So
let's mention Olga Meshway Washington, who was a dear friend of mine as well. Also an author in the book that you were involved with the Supreme Court justice. And just over three months ago, died a very young woman. But you both, if you haven't heard of her, and everyone listening, will be so inspired to know that as a Christian woman from South Africa, because of who she was, because of her fierce Zionism, she was actually given the privilege of being buried here in Israel. And we as the Genesis 123 Foundation participated in helping to put the funds together for that. Never too many opportunities to remember Olga. So thank you for mentioning her. Dobie, were you about to interject?
I just want to mention Psalm 122 in Hebrew, and then I'll translate into English. It goes, "Samachti be'omrimli beit Adonai nelech." I was beyond overjoyed when people told me they were on their way up to Jerusalem. "Omdot hayu raglenu b'sharayich Yerushalayim." Our feet were standing in the gates of Jerusalem. That was the psalm that I had kind of on repeat in my head.
That was your playlist.
As I went through the old city, as Shecha was saying before, maybe it was me, maybe it was other people. We were just yelling different songs related to Jerusalem at the top of our lungs. But those words, that psalm, Sha'alu Shlom Yerushalayim, looking for the peace of Jerusalem, like all of the words of that psalm just came to life on this run. And I just wanted to kind of say that out loud and put ancient words in this modern context, because I really felt that in so many ways.
Yeah. In your downtime, if you find a musical version of Psalm 122, please share a link with me, because that should be in our playlist for next year.
Oh, there are plenty. No problem.
Okay, good, good.
On October 7th, 2023, Israel and the Jewish people suffered a massacre and calamity of unprecedented proportion, the largest number of Jews killed in one day since the Holocaust. That this is even something that we even measure is harrowing. Since then, the Jewish people have never felt more alone, in Israel and around the world. It brings us back to when 6 million of us were murdered in the Holocaust, and few rose to protect us. However, those who did, the righteous among the nations, can never be forgotten. They serve as a beacon of light for us today and for future generations. Footsteps was born in the wake of this most recent calamity to give you the opportunity to walk in the footsteps of the righteous among the nations, the righteous Gentiles. Footsteps is a boutique travel experience with a personal touch. You will experience stories of the righteous among the nations, their descendants, of the Jews they saved, and the generations that came from them. Through this, you'll be inspired to follow in their footsteps to inspire new generations of righteous among the nations, especially today when so much of the world is embracing overt anti-Semitism. In a generation where standing up for Israel and the Jewish people is no longer something to be taken for granted, stories of the righteous among the nations call out to us, inspire us, and are models for today and for our next generations. Please join us and get more information at genesis123.co.
We'll do that.
For me, you know what? Well, another song that came was Jerusalem, which was composed from South Africa. And somebody did a video clip. Apparently, at some point, maybe I wasn't there yet, they were playing it. And everyone was dancing to Jerusalem. It was so, you know, and I was like, oh, I missed it. It was so wonderful just to hear that, also to hear it, the South African language at the time. It's just, yeah, it was something just so special, you know. Yeah. So yeah, it's that sum. I also had that sum. In fact, coming to Israel at this time, that sum was one of the psalms that I was also just praying and meditating on. And yeah, what a blessing.
Amazing. And
go ahead, Sorrel.
No, so when we think about also like the fact that the timing of the marathon, I actually didn't realize that it was delayed, but just the timing, because I only found out about I only registered like 2 months ago. So but the timing, the week before Passover, I think that also struck a different chord, because it felt almost like, you know, the Exodus, right? Like we're all kind of like, it's not escaping. It's kind of like we're breaking through this narrowness, right? If you think about polarization, or you think about how people are, you know, polarized and there's friction. But this was people like breaking through narrowness, breaking through divide. So it was actually like, it felt like a collective exhale, right? Like the exhale is not just at the finishing line. It's also like this release that comes through being together and not running away from something in as much as what we're running towards to, because at that run, I really felt like we're just a better version of ourselves. Humanity is a better version of itself through that, exemplified through the run.
It really resonates. Yeah.
Now, I think for me, another thing that I was so blessed to see was the families. I mean, the families came out. Their children were playing. And it was so amazing to just behold, you know, because coming to Israel, especially from my country, there is so much noise that when you are there, you ask yourself, are they talking about this place? Because it's like you can't even explain. I actually was deliberate in not talking too much, because everyone will just tell you a story and the media propaganda, all of that is happening. But when you come in and you are part of that, it's almost like, Is this the real? Is it the same place that everybody is talking about?
Yeah.
The joy, the children, and you know, just for me, I just felt the words. You know, I'm Israel Chai. I was saying that, guys, I came back and I said, the report I will give is I'm Israel Chai. Wow. The people of Israel live, and you see that from the children, you know, the school ones who are there. They are there. They are alive, you know, and it's an amazing spirit to observe of a people who, no matter how much the whole world is fighting, they just keep going, and they just keep rising. And I it's something that, you know, you watch and you can just admire. And yeah, so it was just beautiful to see. And, you know, I remember there was a gentleman who said next to me, we're in a queue to buy something. And he had been on a wrong queue. So the children are keeping his place at the other, and they're all wearing the same color T-shirt. I'm like, are those all your children? He says, yes.
Sorrel and Shechel, I just, first of all, I have goosebumps listening to you describe it. It's like it's bringing me back. I just wanted to like add a layer to what you're saying. You know, this month, I'm going to put on my rabbinic hat for a moment, that they call this Hebrew month Nisan Chodesh HaGe'ula, the month of redemption. And it truly feels what both of you are describing, and what I felt, and I think what we all felt, was like a small glimpse of like what that feels like, of Jerusalem as it's meant to be. And I think we all felt that in that moment, and hearing, it's like, you know, it's like, I know what I felt, I know what my students felt, but hearing from all over the world that we felt that moment of Ge'ula, of redemption. I read your words, you know.
Great equalizer as well, because I'm so inspired. I'm watching, you know, these students carrying disabled children on their back and pushing this, you know, high lifeline for cancer patients. And these kids are being wheeled uphill. And it's just a great equalizer, because we're all just together. Everybody in their, you know, their strength, pushing forward together, and we're only as good as the person next to us,
yes,
as our collective. And that was really quite, it's humbling. And also you just feel so much, such a blessing and gratitude to be part of all of that.
Right. Well, this conversation is playing that out. You're all pacing one another. And for those who have the privilege of watching it and seeing the active agreement in your nodding and wanting to engage in this conversation, it's that, again, I'm not a runner and I couldn't do even the, I could maybe walk 10K, but that would be problematic for me. So I'm taking so much away from you each and seeing how probably in the very same way, Dovi, you said, whether it was what your kids were running between 6-year-olds and 80-year-olds. And by the way, all of that is prophetic, specifically here in Jerusalem. So it's amazing to do it. And Seho, you're, I think, the first one who mentioned families. But I always describe the Jerusalem Marathon. It's a serious marathon. It's one of the hardest in the world because of the topography. It's up and down, a lot of hills. I suspect that's more the case the longer you run. But I refer to it in a sense as a family picnic. And that's one of my jobs, and Seho, our job, and Sorel and Dovi, you're welcome to help participate by rounding up Christian friends who will join us next year, is that we need to bring out the nations. And if there are 40,000 people who will participate next year, I want 1,000 of them to be people coming in the Run for Zion program. I also have some gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous bibs with the Run for Zion logo all over it, and the picture of the Western Wall, and medals that took me 2 years. They were sent to an address in Chicago just before COVID, and it took me 2 years to get them back here. So they're all sitting in my storage area right to my left, and I'm eager to hand those out next year. Let's just begin to wrap up. I don't know, you know what, each of you have said such really beautiful things, and who knew where this conversation was going to go. But just to wrap up, for someone listening, for someone watching, what's the message for next year, assuming everything's the same, to encourage people? Why participate? What's unique that you haven't already said? What's special? Or why does somebody who's listening now must go to runforzion.com and send a message to me saying, save me a spot next year? Who wants to begin?
I'm happy to.
Go ahead.
Basically, you know, life feels, I think, whether you live in Israel or anywhere, there's a sense of like chaos, you know, to put it mildly, right? There's stress in the world. And I think that what really helps you kind of keep going, show that resilience, keep showing up, is being part of something that's bigger than yourself, right? Feeling that sense of purpose. And I think that when you're at the Jerusalem Marathon, you are so connected to feeling something, part of something that's bigger than you, the energy that transports you and makes you feel like, you know, you can handle hard things when there's meaning. And there was so much meaning at every corner, on every stone, through every up, every hill. It was just, you know, the meaning is it, you know, you're talking about wrapping up. But Jonathan, I could literally just talk all day about the Jerusalem Marathon. In fact, I think that my friends and family are about to like just put me in exile. I'm getting annoying already, but I'm just still talking about it.
I should have gone first. I was going to say it's not just a run, but a run with a purpose. So I'll mention something else that comes to mind, and that is just the pure, indescribable magic of Jerusalem. There is something about just being there that brings your soul to an entirely different place. And I think, you know, you can run so many places in the world, you can even feel elements of togetherness, but there's something magical about being in Jerusalem with everybody, so many circles of different connections that adds to the purpose of the run, but I think adds to its uniqueness as well.
Beautiful. Techo, those are two tough acts to follow.
You know, I think for me, like you say, Jerusalem, the city of the great king, you know, that alone is a reason to be there. And I was so blessed that last year I watched, and lo and behold, the following year I was there. And God willing, next year in Jerusalem. and next year in Jerusalem. But you know, some people ask, you know, don't you get tired? You've been there so many times, you know. And I say, but you know, I actually have not been there enough, because the Bible says at least 3 times a year. I have not quite managed to do the quota of 3 times a year. But I really would encourage anyone to come up to Jerusalem and just see the miracle and see the miracle itself. You know, when you've read so much of how much attacks and plans to destroy, and you come into the city and you see the city still standing, and you see the hand of God protecting the city, it's something to just, you can't shake off. And it for me, it gives me the confidence that if God can rebuild the city, restore the people, protect the people, he can do it for us where we live. So, yeah.
I just want to say, Secho and Jonathan, I just, and you know, for everybody in Dovi, like, I'm really just so grateful, Secho and Dovi, like, I, as an Israeli, you know, we live with it. This is our choice. But you guys coming, like, anybody who comes, like, we learn, we're inspired by you, right? It's not just like, you know, we support and comfort each other. And I think there's so much to be, I'm just so grateful for you coming and running and participating and being part of that beautiful energy, because each person running contributes to that.
And for those who don't run like myself, it's the significance of standing at the bus stop with signs cheering other people on. So I don't want anyone to be discouraged that even though they think of marathon like I do as the M word and 10K seems like a million K, I'll buy you a plastic chair and you can sit alongside with me. That's going to, and I enjoy that. I love it. Wow.
Just to interject to say there's 800 meters family walk run as right. Well, so, you know, there's
that was the one I danced for half an hour on.
there's something for everyone
and there's the 42 kilometers for the others, but there is something for everyone.
amazing thank you, Sorel and Secho and Dovi. Really, thank you so much. I had you all three fell together for this conversation because it was convenient for you at this time, but I can't think of a better group to have pulled together, and I'm really grateful. And we will see you again here live
next year
and maybe do a follow. Yeah, thank you. And as we always conclude Inspiration from Zion, we've done this for almost since the beginning. At the end of every episode, we offer a special gift, a special opportunity. We call it From Jonathan's Bookshelf. And for most of the first couple of years of Inspiration from Zion, I would give away a book of someone else's that I'm inspired by, and I have a whole huge collection to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel. But we've mentioned twice in this conversation our book, Israel the Miracle. It's stunning. It's 75 essays by Christian leaders from all over the world, including the former Chief Justice in South Africa and Olga Meshwe Washington and many, many, many others, writing about why Israel is so significant to them. And it's a stunning coffee table book. So that's a $75 value. All we ask that you do is follow Inspiration from Zion. And when you like or comment or share the link to this, every month we pick one person at random to get a free copy of the book. So please do that. Like, comment, and share. We're always grateful to the Willow Run Greenhouse as one of our sponsors. And I always tell people, if you're ever in Culpeper, Virginia, swing by and thank them for helping make conversations like this possible. And also special thanks to the Coyne family as well for their meaningful sponsorship. Inspiration from Zion and all of the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please consider joining us to help continue the dialogue and build bridges and bring people to join Run for Zion in 26. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode in honor or memory of a loved one or special occasion or your favorite marathon in the world, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. We'd always love to hear your comments as part of the dialogue and invite you to send any questions as well, especially questions about traditional Judaism for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this with others who will also find it of interest and continue to join us right here where you'll hear more meaningful conversations about unique topics that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains and hope that you and your family are all well. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye. Hallelujah.